This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. KLAASfinancial.com is the website. KLAASfinancial.com for any and all information about anything we talk about. Joining us here in studio, as they do every week, Malia and Steve from KLAAS Financial. Steve and Malia, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike.
Yes. We have Malia's mic on, too. We're good to go. Let's do a good morning. Yeah, that. There we are. My apologies.
Wake up.
Yes. So happy Monday to you both. And 815-877-8440 is the number to call KLAAS Financial. These segments are sponsored by KLAAS Financial. We're going to do a KLAAS quiz question of the week later. And that's the number to call if you know the answer to it, 877-8440. How are you guys doing? How was your weekend?
Great. We're enjoying the sunshine today. And I think today's the first day of spring, isn't it?
Yes. I think officially.
It is.
Now in spring, it's short here in the Midwest, but summer will be right around the corner. And if you want to ask questions about anything we talk about too, listeners, call the hotline, 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. And also, we encourage our listeners to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse. Tell our listeners what that is again.
It's a weekly newsletter we shoot out by email. It gives you highlights of the market overall and what has been going on and just some quick snapshot perspective so we find our clients really enjoy just getting a quick update on.
Great. And they can go to KLAASfinancial.com to sign up for that, right? KLAASfinancial.com?
Yes, and it's free of charge. No obligation or anything of that nature. You can actually sign up right through our website.
Great. All right. So I know that today we're going to talk about mistakes that I should avoid and listeners should avoid as we get closer to retirement. Every day we're all getting closer to retirement. What are some of those mistakes that we should maybe avoid as we get closer to retirement?
Well, we've outlined five mistakes to avoid. Of course, there's multiple more mistakes you could make. But, you know, it's good if you can learn from these mistakes to avoid, and then you can make a few of your own, and hopefully it'll all work out. But some of the common ones we see is that staying too aggressive in your portfolio definitely offers risks. And sometimes people are trying to make the most the last year that they know they're going to be employed, and that's really not the type of strategy we're going to suggest. We understand we want that pot of money as large as possible when you go to retire, but it's really not the right time to be taking risks right towards the end. So, for example, I have a couple clients, one of which is going to retire in 4 months. He just informed me a couple weeks ago. Another one's going to retire a year from now. So I'm currently looking at his 401k and offering suggestions for him on how he can maybe pull back in some of the risk that we're seeing his portfolio is kind of set up for. Because if you're giving me a timeline of 6 months, a year, it really is time to be backing off. Actually, you know, years ahead, you might be backing off, but certainly that last year, we don't want any surprises right before you've decided you're going to retire. So staying too aggressive in your portfolio, definitely one of the mistakes you want to avoid. As it gets closer to retirement, and they're actually, for those of you lucky listeners who have pensions coming towards you, not fully evaluating the pension options that your employer has provided for you. Sometimes there's one simple choice, and sometimes there's five choices because of the complexity of the different pensions that are offered. So some of those pensions options might be a single. You take the higher amount. Sometimes it will include your spouse. Sometimes it'll be taking it for a 1, 5-year, 10-year definitive amount of time. And you really want to make sure that you make those decisions with a qualified person showing you the implications, because those decisions are generally irrevocable. You really don't want to make the wrong decision based on, oh, I just checked the box, and yes, when I pass away, my wife doesn't get it because I checked the wrong box, or my husband didn't get the continuation of the pension. You sure. you have to understand that pension, if you're not there, just kind of, you know, it's not as if it continues on if you're not there, unless you've checked the right box, unless you've taken a lump sum distribution. So you want to take your time on that. The next item is retiring without considering health care insurance costs. This is a big one. We're going to talk about it in a little more detail in a few minutes, but COBRA insurance is something that most companies that have 20 employees or more, it was actually an act passed back in 1986 by Congress, that allows for the continuation of health insurance. And again, we'll detail that out in a minute.
Okay.
But for our listeners, you know, the word COBRA, even for myself, it's like, what is a COBRA? And the definition, the act that it was named after, is the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act. So I wonder why they renamed it, you know, with the acronym COBRA. But that's the short form of understanding that health insurance is being extended. And health insurance, obviously, when Steve and I sit with people every day, and they may have the means by which to retire from a monthly cash flow perspective. But when it comes to health insurance, if that part's not properly handled, we don't want anyone retiring not being covered by health insurance.
Especially in the last couple of years with all the changes that have been going on, and when you factor in your own health situation, as Malia pointed out, it can be a substantial cost for that individual. But as long as you're aware of it, you can plan for it.
Exactly. Yes. Another mistake people make is looking at Social Security income figures properly. They're not taking into account perhaps a prior marriage where, you know, maybe they were married before, they're now, you know, single, and they might be able to draw off of their spouse's Social Security benefit. We try to look for the best opportunity when it makes sense to start drawing that Social Security. Obviously, age 62 is the earliest you can start pulling, but sometimes it may make sense to wait till your full retirement age, which is generally between 66 and 67 for most of our listeners. Steve has a great Social Security example recently.
Yes, Malia. That was actually a client where one of my clients, his spouse had passed away, and he met another lady, and she had been divorced for quite a few years. They were both on Social Security. She was actually collecting her ex's Social Security. When they decided to get married, then she was no longer able to claim her ex-spouse's Social Security, and it actually locked her out of collecting from her new husband's Social Security for a year.
Oh,
so
wow.
There are some complexities involved there that you need to be aware of up front.
The final mistake we wanted to bring out is drawing too much every year out of your portfolio. So we all get used to, if we're working income, we get used to a certain amount, a certain standard of living. They say that perhaps 70% of our income is what we probably are going to need as we go into retirement. And what we see in portfolios is sometimes a very rapid depletion because people tend to take more than they should. And we offer guidelines somewhere in the 4-5% range as far as an annual draw off your investable assets. So again, those are mistakes that we see people early in retirement sometimes make because they haven't really seeked out counsel to make sure they're taking an appropriate amount.
You are listening to Kloss Financial's Money in Motion, answers to all your retirement questions in one place. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get into more detail. Malia teased it about health insurance, specifically when you're getting closer to retirement and changes you may or may not want to make. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And we're back. You're listening to Kloss Financial's Money in Motion. We're going to be asking our Kloss Quiz question of the week very shortly here. And the winner of the Kloss Quiz question of the week, first person to call 815-877-8440, this week wins a $25 gift card for Chipotle. That is a lot of burritos. $25 gift card for Chipotle. 815-877-8440. Whoever answers first to the Kloss Quiz question of the week, which we will ask shortly. Now, before the break, we were talking about mistakes to avoid when preparing for retirement. Malia and Steve, what about health insurance when I go to retire? And what if I retire early?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. And as Malia mentioned a few minutes ago, one of the areas to look at for health insurance is called COBRA from your employer. COBRA normally extends your health insurance for 18 months of coverage. There can be exceptions to that, but again, 18 months is the normal length of time for coverage on that. Many times what we have been suggesting over the years prior to Obamacare is for individuals that were pretty close in age spouse-wise, if they got to at least age 63 and a half, they could then extend their COBRA for 18 months, and that would take them to Medicare at age 65. So that could be just another part of the planning strategy for retirement.
And what about the Affordable Care Act? I know that that is something you mentioned earlier has complicated things a bit for people.
That it has, because in years past, when it came to COBRA, sometimes that was actually very expensive for individuals, and they ended up just picking up other types of individual coverage. Now, with Obamacare in existence, the Obamacare plan may be less expensive than COBRA. So again, it's really, as you will hear us say, planning out, working with a professional, and determining what your best options are available for not only yourself, but also your spouse. Because again, when you get to age 65, then you're into Medicare. And Medicare, you have Part A, Part B, Part C, Part D, you know, XYZ, so to speak. But so that's where you need that insurance professional to kind of go through those areas. It can be confusing. It doesn't have to be, though. Part A with Medicare is the one that you're automatically enrolled in. Part B is the one you need to obtain and you pay for. There's also a window of time nowadays where you can obtain the Medicare without medical insurance, or excuse me, without any medical health issue questions to be asked. And there are timelines. If you go past the timeline, you can actually end up with a penalty or a higher cost.
So to recap about the health insurance side of this, for COBRAs, coverage could be extended for up to 36 months based on different situations, I know. And it's important to not confuse the Medicare eligibility age, 65, with full Social Security retirement age, which is either 66 or 67, right?
Right. And as Steve said, generally for the majority of the people out there, 18 months is the extent of time that COBRA normally will cover for. There are special exceptions.
Okay, 18 months normally, and then could be extended with special exceptions. All right. Now, I probably watch too much television and listen to too much
politics,
radio.
Just politics, I think.
That's right, yeah. And I see a lot of these commercials they have, and heck, on the radio as well, for reverse mortgages. I've heard some older people talk about reverse mortgages. Is this something I should consider if I have a lot of equity in my house?
You know, that's another good question, Mike. And reverse mortgages have become more popular, so to speak. I think from a planning strategy, it really depends on your situation. There are many things you need to be aware of and even considering that. I wouldn't always call that a first choice for retirees, but for retirees that may be getting squeezed financially or have some other concerns on not outliving their money, that could be a strategy. However, for both spouses, just as a basic start point, you both must be 62 years of age or older. And for a reverse mortgage to occur, you actually have to have your existing home mortgage paid off. So for people that are considering a reverse mortgage, part of that money that would come out of that would actually have to pay off the existing mortgage first.
Ah, I don't know if a lot of people are aware of that.
Yeah, and some of the other things, people say, well, you know, I could end up, you know, pulling 100% of my value out of my house and then do all kinds of other things. Well, again, in reality, it is a government program. They only allow between 20 and 70% of the value of your home at that time that can actually be withdrawn for the reverse mortgage. The whole concept is instead of you making a mortgage payment to the banks as you do when you have a mortgage, here, basically, through this program, you're getting a payment each month where you still live in the home. You can still maintain it and live there as long as you can health-wise, and you're getting a monthly check out. The flip side of that, though, is when you do pass away, then the home would need to be sold within 12 months after the death of the second spouse. And at the sale of the home, the reverse mortgage would then get their money back. And if there was any excess, that would then go on to your heirs. So there is some complexity. It's a planning strategy. Again, it's not something you want to just do off the cuff. But again, in today's environment, with the changing programs we've heard about, they are much more flexible than they were in years past. Would you agree?
Yeah, they're definitely, I think, better supported. And the companies ultimately, the ones that are remaining are actually the good ones. So again, Steve and I aren't here professing that everyone should run out and get a reverse mortgage. But what we do with all of our clients is really sit down and look at always all options. And I think our show should be called What Are Your Options, ultimately, because maybe you had a lot of financial debt with your healthcare costs in your life, or there could be so many different situations. So I don't think Steve or I have really recommended to people that you should go out and get a reverse mortgage, although it's important that we understand those options might be out there, and you maybe for your grandparents, you're going to have to look at things like that. So we always try to stay on top of the opportunities.
Absolutely.
At this time, I'm going to go ahead and ask the cost quiz question of the week. And again, if you know the answer to it, 815-877-8440, 877-8440. You win a $25 gift card for Chipotle. The question is, how long does COBRA normally extend your health insurance for? I ask again, how long does COBRA normally extend your health insurance for? 815-877-8440. First person to call, 877-8440. That's Cost Financial's number. Wednesday, $25 gift card for Chipotle. We do have time here for some did you knows, and we have a couple of did you knows, Stephen Malia. Which ones do you want to do?
Well, I think it's important to recognize that investments have different holding periods sometimes. You know, for example, everyone seems to understand about a CD. You put in some money at the bank, you get supposedly a little higher interest rate if we allow the bank to hold it in a vehicle called a certified deposit, a CD. These days, most of us know that CD rates are incredibly low, just like all other interest rates are. And there's a holding period. An annuity is the same way. What it means is if you take it out too soon, you may face penalties, early charges of taking your own money out. And I think that's really important as we're doing retirement planning. Steve and I both are really, and our whole firm is really hyper about having liquidity options, an ample amount of liquidity amongst your different accounts, because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow all the time. And if you have everything in a type of product that has a holding period and you don't have access to liquidity, that could really destroy the retirement you're looking to have. So just be really careful on those types of things. Steve, you had a point about Social Security again, about postponing benefits.
Yes, when you take a look at Social Security and you're looking at, you know, when should I start pulling it? Should it be 62? Should it be my full retirement age between 66 and 68? Or should I wait till age 70? Many times that can depend on the health of each individual. Could depend on the age differences between spouses. So while you hear us many times talking about delaying it, because you will get a higher benefit, there are times where maybe age 62 is your best option for your own retirement, because you didn't have an opportunity to accumulate as much money in retirement with children and college and life in general. So it's not an automatic, again, part of that planning.
And part of it is if you happen to have a good paying job and you want to keep doing that, you have to understand that Social Security benefits are limited. If you make more than $15,480 and you are taking your benefit before full retirement age, they're going to take away a dollar for every $2 that you're earning over that amount. So if you're making 50 grand a year and you want to keep that going and collect your benefit, you can, but you're going to get dinged for it. So those are things that you need to know.
And we do have time for one more. Did you know?
So the one thing people don't recognize all the time is they know that they can collect on their spouse's benefit. So my spouse retires, he's collecting his benefit. I go to retire, I collect my benefit. Or perhaps I had a really small benefit and I go, well, I heard that I could collect his benefit. Well, the truth is the spouse can collect 50% of the spouse's benefit at the same time the spouse is collecting his benefit. I don't get 100% of his benefit. I get 50% of his benefit while I'm living, he's living. Now, if he passes away or vice versa, then the remaining person can collect 100%. But you're not going to collect 200%, folks, of you know what's going on here with the Social Security benefits.
Ah, so that is important.
Yeah, I mean, and as we do planning, one thing we talk with people about is we look at their annuities and we go, okay, let's, and pensions, we want to make sure we know what's going to come out after someone passes away.
Steve and Malia, thank you so much for joining us. Again, we'll chat with you again next week.
Thank you.
Have an awesome week, Mike.
This has been Cost Financial's Money in Motion. We will be right back with hour number two of the Michael Kulik Show after this. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Kloss Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Kloss Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Kloss Financial.